Venerable Sir and Friends. Yesterday we heard something about the Buddha. This morning we heard something about the Dharma. And this evening, therefore, we come to the third of the three jewels, the third of the three refuges, that is to say, to the Sangha, or as we may say, the spiritual community. Now the word Buddha requires a little understanding, a little explanation. The word Dharma, as we saw this morning, is quite complex in its meaning. There are in fact a number of different, though related, meanings. But the meaning of this word Sangha is comparatively simple. Sangha means literally a group or an assemblage. In modern Indian languages, it's used in the sense of society or organization. For instance, you have that well-known organization, the Rashtriya Sevak Sangha, one of the members of which attained celebrity by assassinating Mahatma Gandhi. So here, Sangha means society or organization or group. Now, in Buddhism, traditionally, leaving aside the more modern developments, traditionally, there are three types of Sangha, or rather three levels or three grades of Sangha. First of all, what we may call the spiritual. Secondly, what we may call the ecclesiastical. And thirdly, the social. Now, what do we mean by these terms? What do we mean by these expressions? By Sangha in the spiritual sense, we mean primarily a group or an assemblage of those having certain spiritual experiences or certain spiritual attainments in common. These people with these spiritual experiences or attainments in common may or may not be in actual physical contact. They may be living many, many miles separated from one another. But they're united, as it were, spiritually, on a spiritual plane, because of the spiritual experiences or attainments which they have in common. So this is the Sangha as a purely spiritual body or community. People living at distant places, at distant, at different times, but sharing above space and beyond time the same spiritual attainments and experiences. This is the spiritual Sangha, or Sangha in the spiritual sense. Now, secondly, by Sangha in the ecclesiastical sense, I'm not very happy about this word ecclesiastical, but it's the best we have, so we have to make do with it. By Sangha in the ecclesiastical sense, we mean a group of people, as it were, set apart from the world and united as a religious order by a common way of life, especially by a common rule, by also, we may say, a common spiritual ideal. So this is the Sangha in the ecclesiastical sense. Not exactly in a monastic sense, because it's rather wider than the purely monastic, but as I've said, we may say in the ecclesiastical sense, the Sangha. Now, thirdly, Sangha in a social sense, this means the group or assemblage or collectivity of those accepting certain principles, certain spiritual principles, certain truths, regardless of vocation. That is to say, regardless of whether they are as it were, separated from the world as an order, especially a monastic order, or whether they are in the world, even though not exactly of it. So if these three types of Sangha, or three different levels of meaning of the word, the Sangha as a spiritual community of people sharing certain spiritual experiences and attainments, Sangha in the sense of a group or body of people set apart from the world and united as a religious order by a common way of life and common rule, and thirdly, Sangha in a social sense as those accepting certain principles regardless of their vocation, regardless of whether they formally profess or do not. Now in Buddhism, these three Sanghas, or the Sangha as existing on these three levels, are known, first of all, as the Arya Sangha, secondly, as the Bhikshu Sangha, and thirdly, as the Maha Sangha. And we're going to examine the meaning of each of these terms in turn. And in this way, we shall explore, I hope, the full significance of the Sangha as traditionally accepted. Now, first of all, the Sangha in the sense of Arya Sangha. Arya literally means noble. It also means, by extension of meaning, holy. Here, there's no ethnic meaning, not in the Buddhist context, even though the word Aryan originally seems to have applied to a certain group of people or peoples coming down into India from the northwest. They were called Aryans. So originally it was an ethnic term, but gradually it acquired a certain cultural, spiritual significance, and in Buddhism, Arya always means holy, in the sense of in contact with the transcendental. And the Arya Sangha, the noble or the holy Sangha, is so called because it consists of noble or holy persons, the Arya Pudgalas. In other words, consists of those with certain spiritual, or better, transcendental experiences and attainments in common. Now, in what we may call basic Buddhism, the common substratum of belief and doctrine, which is shared by all the different schools, in basic Buddhism, four types of holy person, of Arya Pudgala, are distinguished. These were afterwards subdivided, as we shall see, into eight. And these four, or eight, holy persons, or Arya Pudgalas, constitute a sort of spiritual hierarchy, we may say, intermediate between a Buddhahood and ordinary, unenlightened, not so very holy, humanity. So let's deal with the four Arya Pudgalas, the four holy persons first.